we get things rolling right out of the box this afternoon by getting on the G&M Family Market phone line and welcoming in Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, good afternoon.
How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Well, we're doing just great. And well, you must be top of the world since Bill Belichick was kind enough to give you a couple extra days off.
What a guy, huh? What a nice guy. I will say this, and I think that, you know, it's funny, in the wake of what no days off a couple of years ago, people got caught up in that. This was something that, at least in my experience, having covered the team since 2001, I don't want to say it's fairly routine, but I can remember on a handful of occasions where he was able to give the guys, you know, the last day of the OTAs off, or kind of, you know, spring them for a day here or there. So, you know, for a team that, you know, you listen to the Eagles, they don't have a whole lot of fun. This Patriots team did appear to have at least a little bit of fun this spring when it comes to the OTAs.
So what did we learn about this team during their time together?
Well, I think that the defense is ahead of the offense right now. And I'm not saying that that's a result of, you know, numbers 12 and 87 not being there over the course of a large part of the spring. But you look at this defense in action, and I don't know if it's the return of Dante Hightower. I don't know if it's Brian Flores having them run a more aggressive scheme, or just the fact that, you know, sometimes the defense knows what's coming when you're talking about the offense, or maybe it's all three. Who knows? But this defense was very impressive in the practices we saw over the course of the spring. That being said, you know, when we did see Tom Brady and when we did see Rob Gronkowski, it didn't appear that there was any rust on him. So, you know, I think really at the end of the day, we're going to know a lot more about this team, obviously, you know, after a couple of training camp practices, because that's when the pads go on and that's when, you know, the real football starts. But I don't see any reason not to think of this team as a, you know, a 12-4 team and a, you know, a Final Four team, at least as we sit here in June.
A team did a little bit of business in the last couple of days. Extensions for James Devlin, for their long snapper Cardona. And some people say, well, are those priorities? But, you know, in many ways, those are those integral parts of a team that you don't want hanging around out there. And they may not be the most important people. But, yeah, I, for one, thought it was good to get those guys locked up.
Yeah, those are procedural things. And, again, as you said, Rich, you know, they're not exceptionally sexy, kind of above-the-fold signings. But those are the types of foundational guys that you need on your roster. The one thing that I took away from both of those deals yesterday was that the Patriots will talk, and Bill Belichick will talk, about craving guys who are versatile, guys who can do different things. We've heard on a number of occasions, the more you can do, the more you can do for us. That being said, they also like guys who do one thing really, really well. And when you look at Cardona, and you look at James Devlin, they are very good at their chosen field. You know, they're very consistent. They're cost effective, as we mentioned before, and you know they have a healthy background in the New England system. But they are specialists, and so you know you like to preach the value of versatility, but it also helps to have guys who are very, very good at what they do. And those two guys are among the best.
You had a really good piece in Boston Sports Journal about a guy who came in late last season to that linebacker core who may well benefit from having some extra time. You know, I'd forgotten until I read the piece of how late it was last year when Flowers came aboard for this team.
Yeah, he was a guy who was picked up on August 29th, and 9 days later he was in the lineup against the Chiefs for the opener. So the really fascinating thing to me, Rich, and it's not just Flowers, although he obviously clearly figures into the mix, but there's a handful of guys like this, or there were a handful of guys like this on the roster last year. You know, Cassius Marsh, you know, didn't have a great experience. Marquise Flowers had a great experience. You know, when you talk to guys like Kenny Britt, who came in here, you know, late in the season, Philip Dorsett, who came in here just before the season, those guys really enjoyed their experience. I am going to be fascinated to see how they have progressed, Flowers, Dorsett, and Britt, with a full off season in the system, because I asked Dorsett a lot of the same types of questions, and he said, you can't even compare where I am now with where I was, you know, a week before the start of the 2017 season. So I like all of these guys, and I think they did as well as could be expected last year with minimal time. They were playing catch-up pretty much ever since they got here. Now they have the luxury of being in the system. They have an extended off season. I'm going to be fascinated to see what that means when you're looking at the depth chart at linebacker and wide receiver come training camp.
So many of the questions centered around the relationship between the quarterback and the coach and number 87. But, you know, I have to wonder, especially in terms of the quarterback relationship, do you think that when they had that meeting earlier in the spring, that part of that conversation included Brady telling his coach that he wouldn't be around for OTAs and what his personal expectations were?
Rich, you know what I think was really fascinating was in his pre-draft press conference, Bill Belichick went out of his way to say, look, we have the voluntary OTAs coming up, and he stressed the word voluntary, and he said there are some guys who are going to have excused absences. Obviously, he didn't reference either one of those guys, but I do think there was some level of understanding between the coach and the quarterback. I don't believe any of this came out of, you know, left field. You know, and we could talk a lot about wanting to feel appreciated, as we saw in the Tom versus Time documentary, as well as the fact that I also think, too, that Brady just wanted a little extra time away after really a tractor pull of a season. You know, when you talk about the mental and physical grind, I think that part of that was involved. But, yeah, I really do. I think that off-season sit-down, and also the off-season sit-down, you know, between, you know, Gronkowski and Belichick, too, I think went a long way toward clearing the air. So, look, we're never going to know the full truth of the story, but, you know, I have to believe that there was some level of understanding between the coach, the quarterback, and the tight end as to what was going to be going down.
What kind of news are we likely to learn if we tune in to watch Tom sit down with Oprah this weekend?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of stuff that maybe we knew before, but he kind of gets a chance to go a little bit deeper. Obviously, some of the teasers that we've seen to this point reference the, you know, the kneeling and the debate that went on in the locker room over the last couple of years. I know that he references the loss in Super Bowl 42, calling it a nightmare of a situation. So I think we're going to get pretty much what we've expected from Brady over the years, but he might tend to go into a little bit more detail when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's also my understanding that there's going to be some kind of spiritual stuff, and I do, you know, maybe I'm just a goof like that, but I'm fascinated by that aspect of his overall evolution as well. So maybe we're going to learn a little bit more about the off-field exploits or the off-field thoughts and philosophies of a guy like Brady as opposed to what happened on the field.
Now, did Brady have to clear this with Jim Gray?
You know, that's a great question, Rich. You know, I don't know if, you know, Jim Gray is going to be sitting at home gnashing his teeth and going, oh, why didn't he tell me that during the season? So, that's a very good question.
You had a terrific piece, Boston Sports Journal, about the guy who is, as you've called him, the de facto defensive coordinator, Brian Flores. And this is a guy that, you talk about Tom O'Brien. People had him pegged for this role from a very early age.
Yeah, they did. I mean, this was a guy who you talk to some of his, some of the people who worked with him at BC. And I remember speaking with him 3-4 years ago when he was the safeties coach before he took over the linebackers role. And I just remember coming away very, very impressed. The thing that I keep coming back to, and this is something that one of the defensive players told me about him a couple of years ago, is the quote, he commands the room. And that's, you know, specifically the meeting room. So, and I think really in a lot of ways, that's half the battle when you're talking about a coach. This is a guy who has the clear attention, the clear respect of the guys who play for him. So, and you mix that in with an extraordinary football IQ. Tom O'Brien, his coach at BC, referenced that in the story that's up now on the site. So you mix those two things in, and you really have a guy who is on the fast track. I mean, you know, he was a guy who interviewed for the head coaching job in Arizona. I think that may have been putting the cart before the horse a little bit. But look, you're going to see this guy get head coaching opportunities, more head coaching opportunities, I believe, sooner rather than later.
We're talking with Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. So when the gang gets back together in about 4 or 5 weeks, what will be the top one or two priorities for this team to work on and focus on in preseason?
I think it's going to be being able to establish some level of continuity in the offensive side of the ball with some of the new faces. Whether it's, you know, Jeremy Hill in the backfield, whether it's Jordan Matthews, you know, you want to be able to get those guys on the same page with Brady right out of the gate. Sony Michel, the rookie out of Georgia, he's another guy who figures into that as well. The other thing, too, is that they have some positional questions. They have some interesting positional battles. You know, who's going to be the left tackle? Is it going to be Isaiah Wynn? Is it going to be LaAdrian Waddle? You know, you feel pretty good about the rest of that offensive line. If Marcus Cannon can be healthy, over at right tackle. I also think there's some questions about the back end of the cornerback depth chart. Not so much Stephon Gilmore as well as Jason McCourty, who are going to be your first two, but, you know, are you going to see Cyrus Jones display a little fight when it comes to the, you know, the battle for that third cornerback spot? Is Jonathan Jones going to be able to follow the same career arc as someone, say, like Malcolm Butler? Can Duke Dawson make an impact in his rookie year? So there's some questions there that I would like answered going forward. And then ultimately, how does Dont'a Hightower look? Because if Hightower is healthy, and he looked healthy all spring, he's looked healthy to this point, at least in my experience all spring, if he is ready to go, if he's 100%, that allows you to put guys where they need to be. It's a domino effect. You know, you can move Kyle Van Noy back to, you know, a complementary role, not so much the lead linebacker. You can move a Marquise Flowers and a, you know, if you get Harvey Longy back, you know, you can have them as complementary guys as opposed to lead guys, maybe kind of punching up in weight class a little bit. So those are just three or four of the things that I'm going to be looking for come the start of training camp.
And from what you've seen, Chris, which of the new guys, the rookies that they drafted, is likely to have the biggest impact this season?
Boy, it's tough to look past a guy like Michelle. And right now, I can envision a scenario where he might not necessarily be the lead back, and I'm putting up my quote fingers here when I say this, to start the season, but I can envision him growing into a role not unlike a Deion Lewis or a James White type by the end of the season. And I know that's an awful lot to put on the young man's shoulders, but he's been very impressive, particularly as a receiver out of the backfield. I'm not so sure about his ability to run between the tackles yet, but he's a guy who really popped in a lot of ways for me. Let me give you two other names, lower-level guys who might be able to make an impact this year. Undrafted free agent, J.C. Jackson, who is a very impressive young cornerback. I think he's a guy who has a chance to make an impact on this team. And a late-round pick, Keon Crossan. Now, they haven't really decided what to do with Crossan yet. He came out as a cornerback. This guy is lights out fast. And I think they're going to find a role for him somewhere. He may be a kick returner. He may be a gunner. He's the kind of guy who, you know, has that undeniable speed. We all know the fact he can't teach speed. I think they're going to have to find a spot for him somewhere because he is just so quick.
Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Do yourself a favor if you haven't already. Subscribe. It's the best use of your sports dollar you'll ever find. Chris, as always, a great talk with you. Thanks for making time this afternoon.
My pleasure, Rich. Take care and we'll talk soon.